paper, and the discussant is Professor Kevin Dowd. And Kevin Dowd is Emeritus Professor of Financial Risk Management at Nottingham University. Moreover, he's adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute and a research fellow at the Independent Institute. In the scientific community, he is a major advocate of free banking, money and free banking especially, and he wrote many books and papers on that topic, free banking. And in 2000, he published a book, Money and the Market, and more recently in 2010, another book, The Alchemists of Loss. And please, Kevin.
Thank you, Jean-Pierre. Well, first off, good morning, everybody, and I'd like to congratulate Rosa Maria on a stimulating paper. And when we spoke last night, I was astonished when Rosa Maria introduced herself and explained her her background and her interests and so forth. And it's very refreshing to come across academics, young academics, who are willing to take the risk of failure and spread themselves out in the sense of have a diverse interests which are kind of loosely related to some underlying thing, which I can't quite work out what that is. But it's refreshingly different from the standard norm, certainly in economics, whereby one becomes narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And I more or less gave up on academic journals myself a few years ago when I kept getting rejected by 35-year-old full professors at Chicago and LSE, who I'd never heard of. And when I actually looked at their papers, I hadn't got a clue what they were saying. It was just so narrow, I just thought it's pointless. And of course, I was lucky in the sense that I was a certain age where you can afford to sort of laugh the whole thing off. And I was in a business school anyway, where scholarship is somewhat not quite as rigorous as it is elsewhere. So I want to make some comments about three things. One, about Rosa Maria's paper and where it's coming from. And secondly, about getting published. And thirdly, about free market ideas and the media. So about Rosa Maria's paper, first off, to start with the narrow stuff, I don't really know what to make of it. I mean, I think what I get out of it is a lovely overview of some of the films. It's a lovely, there's lots of little gems in the paper about films I'd not seen, I'd heard of, and some nice obiter dicta about, but some of which is not developed. And so the question, and I hate to sound like a British academic, but we've become so obsessed in the UK that we no longer have any notion of scholarship left. We talk about research with a capital R, and where are you going to get it published in a refereed journal? So I think this is a lovely example of scholarship of a very speculative sort, and it raises many more questions than it answers. But just to be critical a little bit, you know, you talk about economics, the complexity of economics. I'm not entirely sure I agree with that, because physics is a complex subject, and it's become very sexy. You know, it's one of the sort of, you know, the best documentaries of physics things, and it revels in its obscurity, in its complexity, and yet we are dealing with a subject which is a lot less complex, but somehow doesn't get across to the lay people. And the reason is because it's simply unsexy, and also because of the anti-business bias. As you say, the making money is a dirty business, and those of us who are free market, we have never ever won that battle, right from you know, Harriet Martineau in the early 19th century, where she wrote books based on conveying the wisdom of Malthusian economics, where you have to turn the beggars away at the door because there's too many of them anyway. We don't want, you know, this sort of thing. So she was a sitting duck to people like Dickens later on with his fancy fiction, who recreated a version of the 19th century which is fictional, and yet which is in the public consciousness. We've never escaped from that. You know, Scrooge was a perfectly good businessman. I think there's a nice thing to be said about Scrooge and Marley and failure and what have you. And I think we really should be talking then about satire as the way to get back. But anyhow, but I think as free market people, we have always been on the defensive because making money is a dirty business, and it's very easy to go to the comfort zone of being a loose lefty thinking, you know, not for profit is good, etc., etc. We've never won that battle. But going back to your paper, I would say that what I got out of the paper was some lovely insights, but I'm not convinced about your data analysis or about the crisis. I mean, I think before and after the crisis, I would just sort of go through this, if you're writing this for publication, and say this is about business failure or something like that in the movies, and keep it simpler. And also I would suggest there are journals that are interested in this stuff. I mean, there's Critical Review in the United States, and there's a lot of business management journals, and they come up with some weird stuff. I mean, I say this because I've published some of it myself. You see, so, you know, the British Journal of Management, and, you know, there's journals that would be interested, but if you're publishing as a research paper, then the question is, what's your methodology? What is your contribution to our knowledge? If you're doing sort of broader scholarship, which is probably where I would locate it, it's a lovely piece of scholarship, then what is your target audience, and again, what are you trying to get across to them? But I would very much encourage you to trim the paper and make it a bit more focused. But I think that it's the fact that there's these insights are very, very interesting for me. And if I can just make some broader questions about media, I mean, and free markets and media. I mean, basically, how do we as free marketeers, or most of us, I'm forgetting about economics, because I think economics is, as you say, in the textbooks, all we have is exit failures. And this is terribly difficult to teach, whether you're in a business school or an economics department. So basically, where do we come in? Well, number one, you have the individual, you know, the heroic individual. And that doesn't have to be business, it can be anything. One of my favourite films, and you'll laugh at me for my bad taste here, is The Running Man, you see. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the little guy who fights the system. Well, he's not a little guy, he's a big guy who fights the system and wins. But Gladiator's the same. And there's nothing to do with business, but it's all about, there's lots of failure in there. And it's about the redemption of the little guy against the system. The other theme that you touched on in your paper is the kind of conspiracy. You know, when in Wall Street 2, you have the conspiracy, you know, the Federal Reserve cabal fixes everything, you know, because it spooks everybody into thinking that the world will end if we don't get a bailout. So I think as libertarians, those are the two themes that we can push. And failure is endemic to the whole thing. But I'd just like to make some final comments about Wall Street. And also about economics and whether the economics is even right or wrong in the first place. Because if you look at Wall Street, the original Wall Street, there's this wonderful scene where Gordon Gekko, basically, you know, at the shareholder meeting where the company's going to be bought out, he basically makes a wonderful talk. He gives a wonderful talk about shareholder value theory. And, you know, it's a brilliant piece of economic analysis. But the question is it right? It's a very accurate description of shareholder value theory, and he points out, in essence, that the managers, no, it's actually a critique of shareholder value theory, sorry, he basically points out that the managers don't have an interest in their own firms. So I think that was ahead of, now shareholder value theory was coming into vogue at the time, so the paper, the film was ahead of the theory. So there's an interesting little question, therefore, is our theory any good in the first place? And sometimes the media is ahead of the, you know, we think we're the economists and so forth, but sometimes it's the other way around. And when you look at Wall Street 1 versus Wall Street 2, you have the theme in our, if you forgive me, our book Alchemists of Loss, where basically we talk about the deterioration of capitalism from the Victorian, if you like, individual shareholder capitalism, which we all kind of love and admire, into managerialism, which is what you get in Wall Street 1, where the management is out of control, in essence, ripping everybody off. And then in Wall Street 2, we have its ultimate deterioration into cronyism. you see. So this actually, if I can just add one final point, this touches on something else, which probably we've all experienced, which is how do you defend the free market against this media bias? And again, some of you might criticise me for this, but quite happily, you know, quite rightly too. In Nottingham, we had a big event. You know, in Nottingham, we're very politically correct. We got a CSR centre, Corporate Social Responsibility Centre, funded by a tobacco company. That caused, anyway, when money comes to money, you know, money speaks. So we have the CSR, never mind the tobacco, the dirty money that we got. And we had a showing of Michael Moore's book, film. And I was dragged in as the sort of sacrificial victim to defend this stuff. And all the lefties were there. And it was all great fun. And I simply dodged the issue. And I said, yeah, I totally I like Michael Moore, actually. And some of my free market friends gave me some flack for this. He describes the capitalism of his youth, or whatever it is. But essentially, it's Detroit in the 60s with unionized labor and et cetera, protected car industry. And he harkens back to his golden age. But the bottom line is simply this. This wasn't capitalism. It wasn't free market capitalism. It was cronyism. And so I just gave them the talk of the deterioration of capitalism, and everybody just sort of said, oh dear, you know, and I was supposed to be the bad guy defending the bad thing. Nobody disagreed. But it would be nice as free marketeers if we could actually be on the offensive. But again, it goes back to the point that, you know, making money is a dirty business. And Harriet Martineau didn't get it right nearly 200 years ago, and we're still looking for somebody who can do that. Thank you very much. Thank you.